It fights bacteria, soothes irritation, and is gentle enough for uber-sensitive skin. Today, we're digging into another ingredient. This one was brought to us by one of our listeners. We're talking about hypochlorous acid. I've had to rehearse that a couple of times. Hypochlorous acid. Have you heard of it? Have you used it? We're going to talk about it today.
It was brought to us by a listener, so thank you. When you guys do that, we love that we're bringing things forward that you're wanting to know about, because that's why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was an interesting one too, because it is, I would say, probably newer to a lot of people in our industry. But again, you got to thank social media for pointing out things to us. And this is how we can stay on top of, you know, even if you don't have it in your treatment room, maybe knowing about it would be a good idea so you can help your clients, because you got to love that they can just order this anytime, anywhere. So giving them some education on it, I think, is really important, so that people understand what they're using and what they're doing. Not saying you have to run out and buy it.
Yes.
Just saying, educate yourself on it.
Well, you could be asked about it by your client, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. I mean, doing a waxing and they ask you, that's happened, I'm sure, to many people, right? So not even a facial service. It doesn't have to be. You could be doing nails and they might, hey, have you heard about this? Because they know you're in the beauty industry. So
yeah.
Another, you know, add to your toolbox of knowledge to be that go-to person with your clients.
Absolutely. So, I mean, why don't we just, first of all, like the, what is it? What hypochlorous acid, other than a really hard word to say?
So actually, interesting enough, it's a naturally occurring compound produced by our body's white blood cells. It's part of our immune system, which is interesting. It's a powerful antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory and wound healing properties. Now in skincare, just hearing that, you can see there's, I'll say, different ways that you could probably incorporate it in or use it. So it's very effective and gentle. Yet when you think about it's reducing bacteria and soothing irritation and supporting skin health, like, it sounds pretty powerful of an ingredient to be using.
Yeah.
Now, is it good for your skin?
I read somewhere that it was, as we're researching this, billed as being 100 times more powerful than bleach when it comes to fighting bacteria. And then I read bleach and I'm like, what? On our face? But yes. It's just comparing the power to fight bacteria to bleach. It is not bleach, which I had panicked at first.
Exactly. Yeah. No. And there's different degrees of it, right? So we're going to think skincare for beauty professionals to medical level. So think your doctors, nurses, that type of thing. And then there's also the hospital grade. Maybe that's the way to put it. Of course, it comes in different ways, but we're going to talk more about our industry, I think, could be the best way.
I agree. I do want to note, though, that like in researching it, obviously I went on TikTok. There are lots of people talking about it as a cleaner. So there, that is a different grade and a different. So we're not talking about that one.
Yes, right. Not the hospital grade level. The hospital grade levels are for cleaning purpose.
Yeah.
With your floors and bathrooms and tables and, you know, think another level.
But yeah. So this is how it's used in skincare.
Correct. Exactly. So why is it good for skin? So let's talk about when we said antibacterial or antimicrobial, I should say, and acne fighting. So it helps to kill bacteria and viruses and fungus, which is commonly known in acne-prone skin. So it's going to help reduce the breakout without the irritation. So you think of products that sometimes disrupt the skin barrier at the same time. This will not do that, which I think is really good, because I'm always trying to help educate people on this, professionals and clients, that you don't want to go that aggressive and that strong on your skin, because you're going to alter the barrier. Yes, okay, this will kill that bacteria in your pimple, but what's it doing to your skin? So we need to find that balance when we're working with things. So I'm happy to share that this will not disrupt the skin barrier while it is fighting the bacteria.
One way that it's being used is you could use it like a face mist or a spray. And like after your cleansing step to do that, to reduce bacteria and refresh the skin.
Yeah.
Or you can do a spot treatment on, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The other thing it does, it's actually really ideal for sensitive skin and reactive skin. So think irritation, inflammation, rosacea as well. So it's going to calm down the skin. And because rosacea sometimes can be prone to the bacterial side of that world, then it's going to help fight that as well. So it's anti-inflammatory, which is an amazing thing, which leads into it's an accelerated wound healing. So it helps wound healing. So again, you're thinking skin conditions, what would need healing? But then there's also treatments. And we'll dive into a little bit more about some treatments. We'll give some examples, but just slowly getting into that idea of how to use it as a recovery or ongoing skin condition battle, you know? The other thing, when we talked about the barriers, is it balances the skin barrier. So everything is about, it sounds to me that this is all about the skin barrier and it's replenishing and helping in that level of bringing things back to that normal barrier. And
yeah, the goal for us all.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Especially, you know, in I'll speak of North America, we are doing a lot more than what we should. More is better is the theory out there, but it's really not. Less is better. Less is more is what I always say. But the other side of that, if you look in your treatments, how else could you use if you had a client who wasn't sensitive and they don't have acne? Well, if you think of extractions, you could use that as a preventative. So it's not as harsh as some other products out there maybe that you're using or not using at all because you don't want to use harsh. This is an easy one to bring into it. Keeping the skin clean and fighting any potential infections that could happen. And like you said, how it's being used, yeah, as a mist. You know, I even wanted to search, well, if they're misting it, what's that doing in the eye area? And it really doesn't say anything about the eye area. I still generally cover my eyes or my client's eyes when I'm doing things like that. So be grateful of that one. And in the end, you need to do a test, right? Always make sure you're testing it first. But when they say about, you know, you could spritz that on before applying your serum. So think of your sensitive skin, rosacea's, acne, breakouts, or just moisturizing. So it's kind of doing everything in there, which is pretty amazing. And if you're sending it home with a client, or maybe your client has it without knowing their brand and what they're doing, but just being mindful of the affected area, if it's acne or breakouts, not just everywhere sometimes is a good thing. Maybe once, twice a week is localized to that. And then once a week, twice a week is everywhere. I think that's kind of like a puzzle. You're going to have to follow along with your client to see how things are going with them. Because they didn't buy it from you, but you still want to help them. You know, like if them coming to you to tell you about it, I think is really crucial. That's that rapport you're building with your client, that they're coming to you and telling you about this. And then you're you know, being nice and guiding them through it somewhat, right?
Yeah.
And then that redness and irritation, it's the same thing to calm it. So if it's a rosacea client and you know that, I don't know, they had a burst, like it's inflamed and not doing well, maybe they went skiing and it affected it, you know, because the temperature changes, or the vice versa, they've gone on a beach vacation, or they're just in the sun golfing, you know, it's going to calm that inflammation down, which is essential. They can miss that directly to the area as well. And what I love too is it's wound healing. So if anyone, you know, let's say they have acne and the breakouts have slowed down, well, now you're actually helping to promote the healing to the skin as well. So there's a lot of benefits to this ingredient, sure.
Some stuff I read too was that it could be used after microneedling because of that calming and sensitive, you know, for sensitive skin. But in reading more about it, it does seem like a do-it-all, because it's like, thing. You can use it post-vaccine to calm irritation or prevent ingrowns. There's lash and brow treatments. It's just like, it seems that you can use it across the board. And I'm going to play devil's advocate here, but is it too good to be true? Like, how long has this been around? And I haven't used it, so I can't like talk from personal experience, right? Have you used it before?
Nope.
No. So I think because it is newer, right? Like I would take it all
in our
like,
world.
Yeah, I'm a cynic, I think at heart. And I'm just like, this sounds too good to be true. If it does do all these things, great. It probably, I mean, I don't.
I think
places I've looked, these were reputable resources that we had researched. So trust that. But I think if you are getting into it or you're using it to do so.
I don't think it's new. I think it's just, it's drawing traction, right? Like around for like forever. But how it's been brought forward, I mean, that's the beauty of skincare in general, is they're always researching and trying to find ways to do it. So maybe they found ways to bring it into the brands, not just in the full world of our doctors, right? Dermatologists and stuff, that they're bringing it into, again, there's different degrees of it, the medical grade versus, you know, our grade of what we can use. And then studies and seeing like, you know, is it on a rise now because rosacea is on the rise after the last how many years? Like, whereas, you know, when I was doing a lot more treatment before, there wasn't a ton of people with rosacea. It was very rare. And, you know, so then they were using, again, the medical side of the process of their doctor prescriptions and things like that. But I think that they just are becoming more effective on stabilizing these ingredients so that we can use them safely in our scope of practice as well. And you got to love social media for bringing all these things up. And he said, how do you stay on top of it? I mean, this is, in some ways, I wish social media was big in the 2000s for me, because that would have helped me figure out what the trends were ahead of time in that sense, or to be ready for it, because the questions that would come from the clients as well, right?
Yeah.
So yes, you know, it is, I'm sure you're going to see a little bit more of this coming along, but you know, it's still that same idea of specific used. And I mean, if you look at microneedling in our world, didn't come forward for how long? That didn't exist before for us as professionals, right? And now they're showing treatment specifically what to do. Like you mentioned, after waxing, it's great after waxing. For sure, it's going to be soothing, calming. It's easy enough. I have no idea what the cost is. Never even looked at that. If you could order it and have it. Maybe check with your brands. Maybe it's hiding in there already. You just don't know. But yeah, so the treatments like acne or blemish, you know, you could do it, think after extractions or even before, keeping a clean palate of the skin and then doing it. Between, like you know, you're working on an area, maybe it's a little bit more than a lot of on the congested area of the chin and more came out than you were hoping. In a sense, because you don't want to overdo extractions, but you could mist it right to that spot and carry on to another area. So I think there's ways to do it. And of course, post-treatment, helping with your clients for home. You mentioned microneedling, or we mentioned that too. That's, again, it's just keeping that microbial load low so we're not overdoing or a potential risk of infections or anything like that. Chemical peels, I think that if you see this out there, they're referring to our world of superficial. But you want to wait 24 or 48 hours and use your rule of thumb and your education of what things can be used and what can't be used based on the chemical peels you're doing. So if you're doing, you know, 2%, 5, 10, 20, 30, 50, like what are the protocols? And remember to follow those, I would say.
Yeah,
couldn't you say, Dream?
100%. Yeah.
Especially if you're just buying it and you don't have an actual distributor per se selling it to you as a professional, giving you all of the details of the product, the education behind it, and you're just trying to find it. I didn't dig that far into who's carrying it and who's not carrying it. Like, that's up to you guys. We're just bringing the ingredient forward here.
Yeah. And you can find it obviously on Amazon in different forms. But I think one of the things I read from a dermatologist who said that you should be kind of careful of what other ingredients are in the product as well. Mm-hmm. So to kind of, you know, read the label, I think he had said.
Well, yeah, you want to, because if fillers, no one's controlling Amazon.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't forget that sometimes, because you can go get it on there. And so are your clients, right? So.
And he, okay, here it said, typically I keep wanting to say hydro.
I know.
Hypochlorous acid is formulated with only water and sodium chloride.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was sharing with you, which was interesting, because the process of how they make it, I'm not getting into the chemistry of it, just found it interesting that if anyone knows electrolysis and using galvanic or the blend method, it's the same concept that they're using the current that reacts to our moisture in our skin that creates the lye naturally occurring in our body. And this is very similar to the same thing. So it's very corrosive inside to kill the root of the hair, but it's not going to harm the skin, which is makes sense when you think of it as an electrologist. If anyone's out there listening that's an electrologist, you're going to understand that a little bit more. It's like, oh, now I understand why it's not going to harm the skin, because nor does the lye in electrolysis. I think though too, is like, if you look at it, a really easy way to think hypochlorous acid is, and you'll see the abbreviation HOCl is the abbreviation for that, is soothing, healing, and prevents infection. And if you can remember those three key things, I think it'll help you understand or direct your clients how to use it. But again, don't back the product that they're using. Just say, hey, this is what I know, but I don't know your brand. I don't know what's in it. I'm not sure in information, but if you're carrying it, then you need to be able to, you know, think of it like prescribing. When you get a prescription from the pharmacist, they're going to tell you all the details about it, what to be aware of, what not to do, what to do, when not to use it, you know, all that direction to it. So I think that's a big part of it. And just based on your services, like I'm even thinking nail techs, you know, you're using it and you accidentally with your electric file nick them a little bit. Well, you could spray that on there, or a pre aspect of it, of cleaning instead of using alcohol, which is so harsh on their skin.
Yeah,
you know, I know that it's, you know, I get why they're using alcohol because they want to make sure there's no potential bacteria, but at the same time, or whatever disinfectants they're using, but it's still really harsh on the barrier of the skin. So this would be, to me, it sounds like, wow, this is actually a nice way to help not dehydrate the skin after all of that work done, and it prevents any potential bacterial infection. So think pedicures. You know, that's where my head goes as well, too. So I think there's a lot of ways you could do this.
A lot of uses, yeah.
No idea the cost of this. That's something I never thought about exploring, but yeah, very interesting ingredient. Thank you for bringing that forward.
I love that. We're always open to topic suggestions, something you're curious about. We can do the digging, and I'm sure other people would want to know about it too.
Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.